Welcome to Fly Cool Shit, the show where Jeff Petro and Mark Pollard talk about aerobatics, unique airplanes, aviation news, and so much more. Hey pilot, you're clear to enter the box. Smoke on.
Hey everyone, welcome back to yet again another episode of Fly Cool Shit, powered by Lyft Aviation. I'm Mark.
I'm Jeff. And got some drama this week on the Book of Face, Facebook.
Boy, oh boy. Who would have thought? Hey, first of all, who would have thought Rob Holland would be at the center of drama? You know?
I am loving you know what? When people are real and just like, I wouldn't even say like not afraid to like talk, but just being like what everybody else is thinking, I have so much appreciation for that person.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know what I mean? And you know what? Honestly, he didn't say anything crazy. Okay. Backstory. I guess most people, I'm sure everybody that listens to this podcast is already going to know what's going on. But, you know, we've talked on this podcast for what? I don't know. Since the SX came out, like, would love to see it fly. Like, where's some videos. And, you know, we kind of say things like, I don't know, tongue in cheek's like not the right word, but we're not like really shitting on Extra for like not putting out videos, but it's weird. It's like, you know, from a marketing standpoint, you would think you would want to have a video like day one, here's like an unveiling video, not just pushing out of a hangar next to a fucking Cherokee or whatever. But like,
you know what they should have done?
Actual unveiling and then an actual video. You know, you'd think they'd want that. What should they have done?
Look what Cirrus did. What's that? It's a G7 now, right?
Their latest. Yeah.
They literally like put a USB port and some fancy avionics in, and they made such a big deal. And it's probably selling like hotcakes, hotcakes. But like, they didn't even change anything on the airframe, really. Well, this, I don't know. It didn't, from what I've heard, I'm not a Cirrus guy. But from the Cirrus pilots I do know that were laughing about it, they were like, it was like a letdown, but like the presentation and how they unveiled it was incredible.
Yeah.
And like,
that's the thing, they're not going to make something new and then just kind of let it be part of the fleet purchase. Yeah. You know, another SKU. It's not like, there's just thing like, you're going to see it on the website if you search for it. No, no matter how small or big, they're going to make it an unveiling. They're going to do a thing.
You know what would have been neat? I'm just thinking off the top of my head, is Extra could have written out like all these letters to Extra owners, giving them an invite. I mean, obviously nobody would go because who's going to fly to Germany, but you might get a couple of people, right? And just like, you know, offer the opportunity to see the unveiling of the SX in person and like put it in. Extra's got some cool hangar space, put it in a hangar, do that like dark light BS thing with the light on it and just go to town and unveil the thing. And then basically put like Florent Odin or whomever have you in the airplane and have him just go rip around or have a video of him ripping around it.
Yeah. And give one of them, you know, a couple hours in it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
go shake some dust off, figure out what's different, and then like put the balls to the, you know, put the screws to it. And
what's
and
weird is they're calling it like an evolution, and I'm whatever it is, but like, where's the descriptors that like what? Obviously, we have eyes, we can see what looks different about it, but what's the I don't know aerodynamics as well as these engineers. Like, what's the reason for the wing cup? What's the reason for expanding the wingspan slightly? Like, what's the reason for the new aileron shape? What's the reason? Yeah. What's the ergonomics of the new seat? It looks like the stick is different. Like, what's the reason for that? Like, obviously they're brilliant and they know what they're doing, but I think it'd be really neat to see the mentality behind the changes, why they were changing it. It's just interesting, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Instead of being like, it's the best, buy it.
Well, and I think we see, we've talked about the mentality. We've talked about German, you know, marketing. And it's just like, it's, you know, German manufacturing, right? We're going to over-manufacture it. We're going to overbuild it. It's going to be the best. It's going to be a tank. Just buy it. That's basically the motto, right? And it's funny because that kind of came out, that became a little bit public by some people that are involved with Extra over this video thing, because it was just like, you know, and in our private in our chat groups too, it was even worse. It was just like, you know, it was, I don't know. I don't want to say too much, but I just found it to be really interesting how shocked
the same reaction
people were. Yeah, no, it's like this wasn't in a vacuum. There's so many people that are like, can we see some videos? Can we see, you know, Sammy Mason, Rob, and it wasn't talking smack. It was literally like, can we see this thing fly?
Yeah.
Like actually fly? Like we want to see it fly.
Well, you know what it is, and like, dude, I love Extra. I love my Extra. And I just want to say that. So it's not, I'm just trying to be fair and unbiased here. But if that was any other airplane, you bet your ass the same people that unveiled this thing would be shitting all over that other airplane if this is what happened. That's kind of like what gets, what's kind of like got me, like my horns twisted a little bit, is a double standard. You know what I mean? Because everybody's so quick to go after some of these other manufacturers, and that's okay. But then like this happens and like, oh, everybody, you know, that one side is just, they get so bent out of shape. We should be able to talk about it. It's kind of, it's annoying.
And let's face it, or let's be real. You know, some of the same people that were getting really bent out of shape about videos being requested and being shocked that people want to see it flying, or taking the fact that people are making comments about wanting to see a video as criticism. That's not really what it, you know,
no,
I don't think anybody was criticizing Extra. It's just more of like, guys, like,
no, it's a call out. If you're going to talk about an evolution and better than ESC, then it better be better than any video out there on ESC.
The airplane's been out almost a year, right? Or it's been, it was a year since its announcement, right? I think.
It's going to be interesting because the top pilots, the top five pilots, the, you know, gosh, it's so hard to like figure this thing out, because you could say the French military, if they buy one and fly one, then you know it's better. That's one way to put it. But it's still a $550,000, $600,000 airplane. So the people, the other thing too, is the people that buy it, like who's going to be flying this thing? Are they reaching into their own pocket and purchasing this? Or is the SX going to be presenting itself solely with club type formations in the competition scene? Not the air show scene. Is, you know, Olivier in Spain and that team, are they going to get an SX and fly it? Or are we going to see the SC stick around and dominate still?
Well, that's the thing. So, and this is an interesting conundrum, you know, and I'll say this for anybody that doesn't think or doesn't know whether Rob Holland is, you know, humble and legitimately humble. I'll tell you, when there's times where he can talk shit and be cocky, he's everybody knows he can do it. He's got some things he can be cocky about. I promise you. He's one of the best freaking pilots ever to fly aerobatics. But when we were talking about this, and I'll share a little bit of, you know, the conversation between the three of us, just because it shows his character is literally, you know, we're talking about this and he said that, you know, he got beat by better pilots, right? That was his comment. You know, the best pilot is going to win worlds, right? It's not necessarily the airplane at that level, right? It's not the airplane. It's the pilot. And I agree to that to an extent. Here's an interesting, here's an interesting curve that we can take with that though, is that how weird is it, or how weird would it be if these airplanes are like, you know, the French military team gets one, you know, Spain, Romania. I mean, Romania is going to get one, right? I mean, you know, these teams are going to get like an SX.
But what happens if the military team getting one? Because
no, but hold on. What if the SC still beats it? Then what?
Ooh.
I mean, we're talking about the pilot being the best pilot, yes, for sure. But in terms of selling airplanes, you know, people. Rob Holland has been. I mean, what percentage of success for MX Aircraft has Rob Holland been to that company? You know, I mean, Rob has really made that company.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. Arguably. There's been other, you know, Gary Ward flew one air shows, you know, with Paul Lopez years and years and years ago. You know, people are flying them. in air shows and in public view. Obviously, several, you know, Marty flying one in high-level competition. They exist in high-level competition, but, you know, Rob is the most visible in terms of, you know, flying an MXS highest level. But what happens to SX and SCs when at Worlds you got two SXs or three SXs flown by the teams, but the SC, yes, it's the pilot, but we're talking about, you know, airframe winning a championship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if the S, so like if it goes to Worlds and let's say the SX wins, but it wins by say 30 points, right? That's negligible. Like an SC can beat another SC by 30 points. Like
absolutely.
That's all.
And fire. More. Yeah, so absolutely.
How much, you know, the consensus is it's easier to fly. How much easier could it be to stop? The SC stops on roll. They say that the SX outside flicks a little better. I think the SC outside flicks good. You know, they say that it can hold a little bit taller of a pilot, so that doesn't really affect me, you know. Right. So if you're a tall pilot, I guess you can fit better in the SX.
Does it to you look
but to
like
call it an biggest... evolution? I think that's a stretch. I really do.
Does it look like, so to me, just looking at the airplanes together, my initial, like the thing that stands out to me the most, okay, is that it appears to me that they shifted the pilot considerably in that airplane. It looks like a lot. I mean, I know the airplane's what is it 5 inches or 6 inches shorter than the SC? Yes. But it looks like the positioning of the pilot has been shifted in such a way that obviously clearly they're going for, you know, maybe a more FCG in a mm-hmm. typical flight, normal flight, to give it better, you know, either better freestyle or better ability, you know, that would help with outside flicks, obviously more elevator authority. You know, I'm sure that the degrees have changed on the elevator for the throw limits.
The whole dynamic is weird because when the SC came out, it fixed everything that the 300S couldn't do, you know, amongst maybe not fixing certain things, but particularly the 300S was under ruddered and didn't have enough elevator. So they put a different elevator and horizontal stab and a different rudder and vertical fin. And everybody was like, oh, this is great. It could finally outside flick. This is great. Now, and that was like, it outside flicks great. There's no problems outside flicking. Now all of a sudden to say, oh, this outside flicks better. The SX outside flicks better than the SC. Well, are you admitting that the SC doesn't outside flick good? Or it's got some drawback? Because I never heard of any real drawbacks with the SC outside flicking in a bad way. Everybody loved the elevator authority in the SC once you got a hang of it, you know? So like it was so great until it's not great now. And I don't know. I just don't like the, I think they're making the plane out to be more than it is what I'm feeling. You know, I'm sure it could do certain things better or easier as they're putting it. Or maybe it's a feel thing. Maybe it, because the center of gravity is a little more forward or centralized, it's looking like. So it's more cap-esque. And maybe it tumbles a little better and snap. But I don't know. The SC is just such. And I've spoken to Goody and Bourbon and, a ton of pilots. And they love the SC. And they've done really well with the SC. So, like.
It's the gold standard. The SC is the gold standard.
I mean, this airplane could fly different, but is it better overall? You know, I think the SC probably does certain things better than this airplane, possibly. You know, so, gosh, does it even out at the end? I don't know. You know, it's shorter. I think just from looking on the ground and everybody tells me I'm wrong, I think it being a little smaller, I think it's going to not present. It's going to look a little smaller in the air, so it's going to affect it presentation-wise. I think that could have an effect to it. Who knows? It's just super interesting how it's being pushed as a what was the right word? What word did they use? An evolution. Man, you gotta knock this thing out. You gotta beat the shit out of the SC. And I don't see from the videos we've seen and a little bit of the talk. I don't see it that happening. You know?
I just wish it was kind of touted as, and again, it's not my company and they know what they've put into the airplane. I don't. And at the end, I'm looking forward to seeing it
Me too.
Fly. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing at the air show circuit. You know, I want Goulian to get one. I want, you know, I'm looking forward to see Bob Freeman fly it. I'm looking forward to see how it does in a high level competition, because it's always interesting to look at the airplane, for the airplane, right? Yes, pilot. We all know, we're all aware, that it's the pilot, right, not the plane. But in terms of just seeing where an airplane falls short, or where a pilot has to make adjustments, for either shortcomings or, you know, an aircraft characteristic, that's always really interesting to me. I think it's interesting to a lot of people. You know, how does an airplane perform? It's kind of like a car. Like at that level, at your guys' level at Unlimited, I don't even care. The person that's the last place, the plug, the last place finisher of a World Aerobatic Championship in Unlimited is one of the best pilots on the planet. You know, and we tend to maybe understate that element, mm-hmm, to it, right? We focus on the top five or the top 10. But, you know, at that level, you're kind of just seeing there's a small variance at a World Aerobatic Championships of pilot ability. So to see an airplane and how it behaves and how it performs, and then, you know, different, you know, just a flying style that needs to be adapted to a different, to a given airplane. It's going to be really interesting to see the SX. We're not going to see it this year, I'm sure, at WAC, but it'd be nice. Maybe next year.
I don't know. Well, who knows? I mean, I think you're right, but it'd say a lot about the airplane if one showed up and did well with the pilot not having the ability to train as much. I mean, that would yeah, put everybody's doubts to rest right there.
Yeah, it totally would.
You know, but just trying to find the results for the, because I was going to say, you know, you have a guy like Castor Fantova who's flying a Sukhoi that's
still flying a Sukhoi. Yeah.
30 years old now, 30 plus years old, you know, still at least
doing the damn thing.
30 plus design years old. And he's kicking ass in it. So like,
yeah,
you know, should we, well, whatever, but it is a cool looking plane. I will admit it is starting to grow on me slightly, but I still favor the SC. I mean, I go fly. I feel bad flying one because I'm not going to buy one. You know, I'm not going to drop $600,000 on another single seat airplane.
No, but like, you know, it, your opinion would matter, right? Aaron McCartan, would love to see his thoughts on it. Rob, I would love to see Rob fly one and just give an honest breakdown. I mean, and I'm not, this isn't to say that, what Extra did with kind of the after flight testimonials from some of the French team members and Romain and some of the others that flew the airplane, yeah, right? Obviously some high level.
Somebody who's got pilots, no skin in the game.
Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't have to be critical, or I don't need to hear that it's the best airplane ever made. I don't need to hear that it's the worst airplane ever made. I'd like to just hear how it's different or the same, right? Like, hey, this very similarly matched in performance envelope to an SC. Here's where it's different. Here, you know, it doesn't even have, take all the bias out of it of whether you like the way it flies or not. Just here it is, right? Just present it kind of in an unbiased view. And then it would just be interesting to hear that, so we could kind of take it and, you know, form an opinion on, okay, the airplane is drastically different, or yeah, it's a slightly improved airplane down this lane. If you thought the SC was lacking here, and here, this airplane makes up for it a little bit, or hey, it enhances everything that the SC does. I still feel like that's a little bit general. We're kind of hearing that, you know, it's like, yeah, oh, it's a SC on steroids. It does everything the SC does, but better. That horseshit. That's impossible. You know, that's just doesn't exist.
Yeah. I think that it will give it some credits if like somebody like Goody or an AJ or, you know, like somebody who's not making a living off air shows and not smart, like somebody who's out of pocket to buy this thing and wants to buy the best airplane possible for the money. Cause yes, I don't know if they'll still make you an SC, but, you know, for kind of get what I'm getting at, like, what are they buying when sponsors and
and whatever have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, right. What are they going to be in? Those are the people that I'd love to see what they're, where they're going with it. Not somebody who's, you know, working for the company or, you know, flying air shows and, you know, gets a break on the price to get one. You know, like I want the goodie or the bourbon, somebody who's out of pocket.
Yeah.
You know, who's got a choice and wants the best flying machine because they're not going to waste money just because they want the new lettering on the airplane or whatever.
Well, even a French team member, like, you know, bless their heart. Like they're so professional that they would never publicly trash an airplane for its shortcomings. Right. And this isn't to say that the SX needs trashing. It's an extra, right. Guys. It's an extra. It's fine. We know that. We know that already. Extra knows it's fine. We know it's fine. We still want to see it and kind of, it's just interesting. In 2024, you know, we want to see these breakdowns and comparisons. I mean, YouTube is filled with it. You want to buy a car and you look up the certain, you know, best performance coupe of 2024. You're going to compare all the performance coupes of 2024 to see which, you know, and there's all kinds of comparison videos to watch and kind of make an informed decision on. You know, we just don't have anything like that with airplanes. And Sammy Mason said he was going to kind of go down that lane. I'd love to see what he had to say on the SX, right? He's got, obviously, he's an incredible pilot, wealth of knowledge. He's flown a bunch of stuff at a high level. That would be so interesting to hear just a breakdown, you know? And, you know, the French are going to get the SC, or I'm sorry, the SX. Like, we know that there's no way that the military team doesn't have one. I think they switch the fleet eventually. It's just going to happen. The clubs are going to get them.
Yeah.
It's so in that regard, it is an evolution, right? It's evolving to what this is. But I even made the comment in our group chat. I was like, you know, if this was a true, you know, why wasn't this a monocoque design? I still don't understand that. I know that that costs money.
You know, I'm looking at it right now and it really, the more you look at it, especially the side profile, it really is. Keeps calling my daughter's iPad. It really is looking very cap-esque. And I wonder if the French had something to do with it, with securing a certain amount of orders or whatever, at least two or something like that, or some type of input like Guillen did with the SC of what they wanted in an aerobatic plane. And the French are, you know, and everything we hear about the cap, the cap's a phenomenal airplane and does everything, you know, you want it to do, flicks great and decentralized mass pretty good on it. So,
well, the French are going to be very, very influential as a team and an aerobatic flying community because, you know, the French depend on extra as much as extra depends on the French to maintain this status. I mean, let's face it, it's
without the French.
Absolutely. The argument ends when somebody tries to say that extra isn't the best aerobatic airplane ever made. I mean, by what metric are you going to say that it's not, right? It's got more championships. The French is the best aerobatic team as of recent, probably ever as a country, right? I wonder if they had something to do with it. You have to look at the stats. I wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me, but it's going to be really interesting to see if, you know, how judges view this airplane, how pilots fly this airplane, how they get used to this airplane. Is it typical extra of feels like an extra? Cause you know, up until, you know, I don't even know if the NG feels like this, but, you know, extras tend to feel like extras, right? There's just something about them, right? It's kind of like a Pitts. Like they just kind of, you can kind of feel that it was made by the same company. Is the SX going to feel like that? Or is it a departure from, you know, what these teams are used to feeling with the SC? Cause you know, you are too, for that matter. I mean, anybody that flies the SC in the US team, you guys are dialed into the SC. You know, the SC very well. Bourbon knows the SC inside and out. Goody knows the SC inside and out. You know, every limitation of that airplane, every pitfall, every advantage, every gain, anything you can, you know, that the envelope corner to corner in a 330 SC, does that change in the SX, right? How much learning is going to need to occur to get to that level in an SX? I'm sure it's going to fly like an extra, but it's going to be so interesting. I can't imagine we see one this year at Worlds, but I can be surprised.
also getting the feeling like a little like Cirrus type route they're going, almost like that kind of, not with the SX obviously, but with the NG and everything. Seems like I get it, you know, sell airplanes and everything like that, but very different than say 20 years ago or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you get that feeling a little bit?
Yeah. And I was actually kind of thinking about this because it was such a fascinating, you know, few days, right? Of a lot of people are like, come on, can we get some flying videos? And I think some people at Extra may have taken that personally. I look at it more as we want content. Everybody's craving content. You can't just dangle a new airplane. You know, it's not very often we get a new aerobatic airplane, right?
Or
and the SX is a new air. Yeah. You know, it's like there's bold claims. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but you know, big claims. It's a new aerobatic airplane into the space. Like, we want it. We want to see it. Feed us, right? Feed the community. Yeah. And I was thinking about, you know, what if there were six more aerobatic airplanes to choose from and unlimited than there are right now? You know, how would these companies, including MX, including we'll even throw GenPro into the mix, but especially Extra, like how would Extra have to change its game plan if there was more competition in the space? You know,
right. Well, do you think that this is going to spur Gamebird to come out with something like their own quote unquote evolution, like a
good little, question,
a slightly, you know, or something to try to you know, freshen up the design? Because right now, Gamebird, how old is the first GB? It's got to be coming in on 10 years, right? I mean, I know they made prototypes in England and everything like that, but
When was it released? Was it 14 or 16?
Yeah,
same year as the NG. Right? GB1 and the NG came out of Oshkosh in the same year?
Well, since you're on their website, in 2013-14, they founded the company, Philip and Stewart. And then 2015, first tools and molds were produced. And then 2016-2017, the GB1 debuted at Oshkosh. 2016.
Yeah.
So 2016. Yeah. So they're coming in on almost, 8 years, right? So
let's call it 8 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and obviously we've heard the scuttlebug that they're working on a different type of airplane for a different market within aviation. But
yeah,
Are they just going to keep going with the GB1 as is and yada? Or does Uncle Philip have something in the pipeline? I think Uncle Philip's got something. He's always got something. And
I wouldn't be
surprised.
Let's be real here. So, this is a real tip of the cap to Philip Steinbach, right? You know, you've got the Extreme Air, the S-Bach lineage, right? You've got the Gamebird. If you kind of combine all the, I'm not saying literally combine all those, but it in my opinion, this is my opinion. I could have it changed very easily, but it's my opinion that a Gamebird, a GB1, could be lightened. Single place canopy, not the option, right? But like an actual single place canopy, you know, shave some weight off of the front avionics, and front tub, right? To where it's a single seat only airplane. You maybe do a few little minor tweaks to maybe the control surfaces and what have you, and you keep it experimental. All of a sudden you have a single seat unlimited aerobatic airplane. You know, that there's some good bones with the GB1 to do that. I don't, the Extreme Air 41 and 42, like they're not super different. You know what I mean? There were some differences, but like, I guess my point is that Gamebird doesn't have to do a clean sheet design for a single seat. In my opinion, there's like a big history there of being able to make something like that. And I don't see the downsides to it, unless, you know, again, tip of the cap to Extra. They are the gold standard. You know, the SC is the king. It's the almighty. It's on the Mount Rushmore. It's basically by itself, right? It's in a class all of its own in terms of what it can do and what it's done. So does Philip Is he sitting at his desk looking at that going, why even try to compete in a market where Extra basically dominates? Because they do. Extra dominates. Aircraft sales, wins. You know what I mean? There's not a metric that Extra doesn't dominate in the unlimited aerobatic aircraft market. You know, MX Aircraft is a boutique aircraft maker. It's hard to even call them a manufacturer. I think Gamebird should do something like that, where they make a single seat unlimited experimental. And I also think MX should pivot their resources a little bit, and I think they should go for EASA certification. You know, because I think if that airplane got certified in Europe, you'd see some people purchasing that airplane. Then you'd have some real competition for Extra, because you could have a team fly that airplane in Europe. You know, and if Gamebird did the same thing with call it a GB2 or a GBS, and true single seat experimental, do some things to it that you can't do for with a certified airplane, make it a little bit more hardcore. It's right there. You know what I mean? It's right there. It's a really high performing two place aerobatic airplane. I actually think Extra could have done the same thing with the NG, shrink it down a little bit, you know, put the SX wing on it. Get rid of the front part of the tub.
Yeah.
And you basically got yourself a new single seat composite monocoque design. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In my dreamland, a company like Gamebird or whomever would just buy the rights to reproduce the Edge 540 or the MXS, and maybe fix a couple of things that people complained about, or maybe make some positive changes to the airplane. Because obviously if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but maybe there's a couple of little tweaks you could do to it. And just because the Edge is a proven entity. People love that airplane. And the Edge 540, the V3 version, that's probably the sexiest aerobatic plane.
Oh yeah.
It's a race plane, I guess. Right. But,
yeah, but still it's a tremendous airplane.
Yeah. I think it's sexy.
I mean, Kirby's still doing the damn thing with an Edge. You know, these airplanes were, the Edge and the Sukhoi were so ahead of their time in terms of capability that they could still be relevant. You know, you have somebody, you know, like Ryan Chapman buying a Sukhoi in 2023, or maybe it was 2022 when he bought it, but you know, it's going to be coming back this year, hopefully, knock on wood. You know, to buy an airplane like that, I love the midwing. You know, I love the midwing, but nobody's buying a midwing in 2024 to compete in unlimited. No. And if they do, they're an idiot, you know? But you could buy an Edge. You could buy Sammy's Edge right now and be competitive on the unlimited team. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Sukhoi, same thing, depending on the Sukhoi, obviously. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And I wish that we'd see more Edges and MXS, like the MXS. Gosh, I think I bring this up a lot, and I'm sorry for repeating myself, but man, if Game Composites started producing the MXS, I think, and they would certify it. Obviously, there's not enough money in it where people are going to be buying that many MXSs. I get it, but I think that would have made a dent, or I think more people would have bought the MXS over, say, an SC.
Yeah.
You know, there's no doubt.
I wonder what's stopping MX from kind of going to that next level. You know, must be capital, right? But you would think that like if they just kind of bumped it up to the next level, they can increase production, get the order delivery times down, because those are insane, right?
I think it's a combination of it being, you know, experimental, not, you know, and not EASA certified or certified in the States, and then also the amount of capital it would take to create production. And then you weigh that against how much demand is for a single seat aerobatic planes to get your ROI. And, you know, Extras, they're established, and their facility and everything else not only has been around for a while, and a lot of that revenue went back into, you know, paid for, but also they have a couple different channels of revenue between the two seaters, the schooling, and you know, the parts department. They have so many extras. There's 800 plus or 900 plus, whatever extras.
Huge fleet.
Yeah, flying, and like how many canopies are breaking and sticks are and the parts supply is. I would love to know the revenue on parts supply.
Me too.
I mean,
that's a huge portion of it.
It's got to be every bit of. It's got to be. I think it's 8 figures.
I think it is too. I think it's got to be.
Yeah. So like, and they reinvested. I mean, you see their carbon fiber work, their facility, the machines that they have, the paint. I mean, there's no doubt that they put money back into the company, which was great. But MX down in Australia, you know, they'll never get their money back if they try to ramp up production and do all the things we're talking about. But if somebody's established that's already made the investment, and say like a game composites, you know, they've got everything. I can't see it costing as much as say the guys down in Australia doing the MX right now, having to go from zero to hero.
No, you're so right. Because it just takes a lot of infrastructure and buildup and you know, capital. And again, there's resources, you know. I think we were talking about this pre-COVID, actually, where, you know, Philip bought a bunch of stuff, parts prior to, yeah. And I think smart. They do it every year prior to the price increase, right? Like, so Lycoming, you know, Thunderbolt engines, like, yeah, we have the capital. Let's buy 12. We're going to buy 12 or 20, you know, and we'll just have them created in the factory, sitting to the side. The G7Xs, right? Let's buy 100 of those. Just keep them in the hangar. Price goes up 13%, you know, next year. If we buy 100 of them, it's going to end up being, you know, $100,000 cheaper to acquire those, and then we just pass the price increase along to the customer. They're none the wiser. They can, you know, Gamebird can remain competitive.
It's a shame that April Fool's Day is so like aware. Everybody's so aware of April Fool's, so you can't really joke anymore, but what an incredible April Fool's that would be for Game to do if people weren't so like on top of when April Fool's is, to be like, we're going to reproduce the Edge 540. We're going to call it the GB 540.
That'd be so cool.
Dude, people would lose their shit in a good way.
It does show you though, because the Zipco is still around. That company is still right. doing the darn thing. And they'll produce you an Edge 540 if you buy one, I think. At least they were for a long time, like just made to order. Obviously nobody's buying one, but it shows you what this market space truly is like, you know, and it really does lend itself to Extra being so impressive in a lot of ways to be so dominant in a niche cutthroat subset of the aviation market, aircraft market. Right. You know, nobody else wants to do it. Nobody wants to. Zipco's like, fuck you guys. We're going to do government contracts. You know, even the resurgence of the Sukhoi. The Sukhoi was going to come back and it didn't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have the Aura Aero is like really the only other company that's like kind of touching the aerobatic space, which obviously it's not a totally different portion of the market than unlimited, you know, monoplanes. But yeah, it's like, I'm sure Gamebird's like, you know what, financially it doesn't make sense. It'd be a passion project, right? And I think that's probably what MX is. You know, it's more of a passion project of building these really amazing airplanes, and they are amazing airplanes. They're just not manufacturing wise and infrastructure and kind of that, you know, I don't know, the foundational stuff are just not there to compete.
I'll say it again. I really what Gamebird is doing with building up their user base, what do you want to call it? Like their camaraderie and group is, I don't know how much percentage of a portion of getting somebody to buy the airplane, but I think it's it helps sell those airplanes, having a community-based group of people and doing Game Fest. And, you know, it's a cyclical plane, especially with the single place canopy. Yeah. Obviously a ton more performance than anybody needs and what 90 something percent of the pilots are ever going to achieve. So, you know, it's not,
handicapped by performance. So, you know, how I think they figured out a way, and extra equally on the other side, you know, to market the airplane, you know, outside of performance and looks. I think Gamebird has that over extra right now. They have that community and that camaraderie and that group where you feel a part of something. And I think that goes into it, you know? And well, I just
certainly
don't
gonna,
see...
it's going to go into it with newer generations of pilots too.
Yeah. And I think what's good with Gamebird too, is they've managed to, although the airplane is like, I guess like old new airplanes, you know, very expensive, but they've managed not to come off pretentious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not, if you can, like I went there to go with some people and we flew it and, you know, Philip's awesome. And he's like, oh, let's go fly. I'm like, Phil, you know, Phil. No, I was like, Philip.
I'm like, Phil, baby.
Yeah. I'm like, no, nah, man, it's cool. Like I could barely afford my SC. I don't want to waste gas and put time on the airplane. That's not fair to you. He's like, nah, it'll be fun. We'll go fly it. And she's a very welcoming, and I never forgot that and the experience I had there. And, you know, I think the down the road for me 10 years from now, or, you know, if my son gets into flying, my daughter gets into flying, whatever, where I want to, you know, do the two place thing. I'm definitely going to consider it, you know, because I'm not, nobody's going to go up with two people up and do outside flicks. Like, unless you're a mental patient, you know,
yeah,
that doesn't happen unless you have some serious issues figuring out the outside flick and you want somebody to fly with you. But at that point you have two unlimited pilots in the airplane, but you're buying a two place airplane for the most part where to go up solo and fly advance and fuck around in the limited if you're at that level, but mostly like with it's sportsman intermediate with the other person there or yourself, you know, most people are not doing that. And the Gamebird is more than enough airplane to do that. So to kind of wrap up my thought with that is like, I'm really loving their community that they created and the welcoming environment, and that it doesn't matter, you know, if you can afford it or not, like we'll talk to you. It's cool.
Well, and from all accounts that I've heard from people, they welcome anybody and everybody, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. We got to call up Philip and get some,
be fun to make a trip down there.
Yeah. I, like I said, I had a great time. What would really be cool is, you know, he took me around the airplane and I was asking questions about it and he went over with me. I don't even want to, say it wrong. So, but I think if what would we really need is to have him go over every type of thing in the airplane that makes it unique. For instance, you know, they have a whole plenum design for the intake. So, you know, that was just the way it's formed inside the cabin. It's incredible. And the way that they did, you know, the rudder pedals with having, you know, a half cable and then half of it push rod, and how they set up the rudder, like to get like an in-depth view of everything about that airplane to the people like us and that really want to know the specifics of it. I think, because I love like those breakdown videos. You ever see those with anything, you know, where they go into the nut and bolts of it?
I love that kind of stuff. I watch that. That's what I was kind of talking about on YouTube. I watch that stuff all the time on a bunch of different, a lot of car stuff, but a lot of various things I'll watch, you know, kind of detail breakdown stuff on. I really nerd out on that stuff.
Yeah, no, totally. So, it was really what he did. It's, I mean, it doesn't take a lot to impress me, but, it was phenomenal stuff. So, if we could ever go down there, I know we were invited and we got to set that up, but that would be something to do, is just do a really close up view of the airplane and go over every type of detail of it. Cause I think people, when they see it, you know, it's a cool airplane, and especially people that judge it, but they don't see the inner workings of it and the way it's rigged and designed and engineered. The internal of the airplane is really neat.
Yeah, I agree. No, it'd be fun to go visit, and it'd be fun to compare, you know, the Gamebird to the Midwing and the SC, and just in general, just I don't know. Maybe we should talk to Sammy. Like, we should figure out how to get some sort of a channel together where like detailed breakdowns of airplanes. And
Sammy flew to GB, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, we gotta get him back on. I forget what he said. Yeah, what's he doing lately?
Just crushing it, probably. I don't know.
Right.
It's getting ready chilling.
For air show season.
Yeah, air show season. You're getting ready for your first camp. We have to talk about that
Tuesday.
The last time we recorded last week, you tried to fly and couldn't. I think we were recording on, I think it was a rainy day, or I wasn't feeling well and couldn't fly. But I ended up flying the next day. So we've both flown since the last episode, which is awesome. But you kind of just did a maintenance shakedown, right?
Totally. So that's what I was going to say. Like, the camp's coming up on Tuesday, and I am more than ready for this camp. I did a 20-minute maintenance flight, maybe 25-minute maintenance flight, you know, just light G, making sure everything's working on the airplane after we put it back together. So I don't know what else I could have done to prepare for training with the top pilots in the world alongside of Nicholas Ivanov. I mean, what wouldn't make me ready right now?
You know what, dude? All you got to do is just go in there, just full RPM. Just screw that little blue knob all the way in. Make the most noise you can, and they won't care how shitty the flying is.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You should fly to the camp. You should freaking do G warmups all the way. Just like fucking. just get yourself warmed up on the ferry. Fly it out to the camp.
I'm just gonna pretend like he's gonna be like, okay. I'm not going to try to do a French accent, but Nicholas Ivanov's going to be like, all right, okay, Jeff, I want you to pull the vertical and just show me like a, you know, inside flick, full flick, whatever. I'm going to be like, all right, pull the vertical full roll. And then just pretend like he's saying different things that are much easier. I'm blaming on the language barrier.
I thought you said 204.
Oh, you want an outside flick into tail slide? I heard Humpty with the half roll up.
I heard hammerhead.
Yeah, weird. Down loop with the 2 of 2? I heard up loop with the 2 of 2.
Roller? I thought you said loop.
Sorry, Nick. I can't. Maybe it's on New York. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Oh, man. Hate when that happens. I'll try better next time.
So your airplane's at least running well?
Supposedly, yeah. I mean, it's got 20 minutes on it since November. That's I'm fine. Not running well.
Airplane's running okay. You're not running okay.
God, can you imagine how weak my pushes are going to be? Because you know me, I'm like really afraid of wobblies. So I make sure I'm like definitely ready to start pushing. So he's going to be like, all right. Let's just do a simple push half loop, Jeff. No problem. You'd be like, all right, negative 2 or 3 G push.
It's fine.
Falling out fine. Of a half loop up. Yeah, sure. Like, where did you guys get this from?
Who is this guy?
Yeah, exactly. So just another idiot.
Where is the camp?
It's in Union City.
Okay.
So I planned
first Union City camp of the year?
Yeah. So this camp is March 12th to the 19th. I'm going the 14th to the 19th. I got a, whatchamacallit? I've been thing with work. I have a very important meeting. Can't get out of. Then I'm going to airline home on the 19th. And then there's another camp, I think on the around the same time, the 12th, with none other than Francois Lavat. So can't wait for that one either.
That'll be fine.
My reputation is just going to be stellar.
I love it.
So I'm going to leave the plane in Union City if they have enough room, which I talked to Justin, who said everything's cool with that. So don't have to ferry it back. So I'll airline back out in April, and then I don't know when I forget when the May camp is, but I think it's relatively early in May, so I might leave my plane there again. Then it's Coco Bessier. So
are you gonna try to fly out in between to keep getting flights in or
to do some maintenance flights? Of course. No.
do some more spark plug check flights?
Yeah. nah, maybe. It's just hard because like where Union City is, the closest airports, yeah, it's like a 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. Obviously it's worth it, but you know, when you put everything into perspective of family and career and everything like that, and then actually going away to the actual camp, I can't, that's not fair a hard ask. And I don't want to either. I love my family too much. So whatchamacallit? And people need the lattes, dude. They need
the coffee. That's it, man. Gotta sling them PSLs, baby.
Yeah. So to answer your question, no, but I am training those guys here on Long Island, so I should be able to keep my G tolerance, my positive G tolerance up with that. And then that's what I can do. And I don't think it's worth putting, because it's 6 hours each way on the airplane. 12 hours. So like I don't think it's worth putting that time on the motor financially for me. To go back and forth, but it's like 40 hours of cross country on an aerobatic motor. So it's not fun to draw the timeline down on that thing.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna leave it there and just try to do quality. I'm gonna just do my best to be mentally ready and get myself I'm physically ready. I got back down to fighting shape. I blew up over the winter. Not really blew up, but I I got into like the gained like 10 pounds or 15 pounds. Nothing crazy, but the past month and a half, I've been shredding up a little bit. So I'm back down to where it was at Nationals. So I feel good there. Been doing a little bit more strength training as opposed to cardio that I used to do just to help with the G. And, you know, just trying to mentally, you know, walk through things as best I can and this and that. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's not intimidating going to these camps because I had such a positive experience at Nationals with the other teammates. I'm really, really excited to, sounds like I'm kind of like not really being truthful here, but I'm really excited to learn. And I think I got a really unique opportunity handed my way to be around these coaches and teammates. And I'm hoping that it's going to accelerate, you know, my ability faster than it would, you know, training at home. You know, it's like literally going to be around eight of the, or however many of the best pilots and wherever. It's just like,
and it'll be the best, dude.
Yeah. And I could take not necessarily thick skin, but constructive criticism. I could take pretty good if it's given out in a normal way.
Hell yeah.
No, it's good. But the problem would be me if I can't learn from going there.
Oh, you're going to have such a good time.
And Nicholas, I never spoke or met Nicholas Ivanov. So, but he seems like, and everything I hear about him, he's just really like chilled out dude, like a really cool guy.
Yeah, that'll be fun. It's kind of cool to get some different coaches too for the year. I think that's smart.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially, you know, because Rob, I mean, I don't know what Rob is going to. I just don't listen. I don't know. I don't have the experience or knowledge to even guess what Rob is going to learn from this camp that he doesn't already know. Or, you know, maybe he just needs to be reminded if he's not picking it up. But, you know, so it's going to be really interesting to see what he's going to be working on with the camp. Obviously, he's going to be running through figures and possible, you know, unknown figures and complicated figures like the snaps into slides and things like that. But I would assume that he knows all the cheats and knows what the figure should look like. And when it's not performing right, what he has to fix. The guy's brilliant. So. I'm really curious kind of to look at it from an outside perspective on how he works with, I know how he works with Coco, but how he works with, Nicholas Ivanov, you know, and what kind of, communication, you know, gets slung back and forth that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what is, and I'm not, I really mean this as an honest question. Like, what is Nicholas Ivanov going to tell Rob that he doesn't already know?
Well, and I have to wonder, like,
you besides know, like a critique, like, hey, you were over there, or I want to see more, I need to see more pitch on this flick from say, you know, I have whatever, you know,
well, I would imagine at this point when Rob flies, but when he flies in front of somebody, I would imagine it's almost like he is getting judged, right? Like, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with his game. His presentation's fantastic at that level, right? There might be some things to work on, but I would imagine it's almost like having somebody judge your flight instead of maybe not necessarily critiquing or coaching. It's like, you were over on this, you were under on this, you know, bobbled this. It's almost just like mistakes you make for human error. Like, what really, mm-hmm. what are you fundamentally correcting with Rob Holland's flying? I can't imagine it'd be anything.
The only thing I could think of off the top of my head is maybe they're going to change the tempo or the rhythm up a little bit, or he's going to experiment with changing the cadence, you know, between rotations, or, you know, with the hesitations and stuff. I wonder if they're going to be more dramatic or quicker at certain points.
Do you feel like the Europeans set the pace on that, and having somebody like Nicholas coming over to coach would help? Like, do the French set trends, you know, at the start of the year of like how they're flying and their flying style? And does that kind of get disseminated to other countries? Because that is almost, obviously you're being judged in Europe, and, yeah. and you kind of fly to, you fly for the judges in that sense. Do the teams change like that in other countries? And then you guys have to adopt and adapt.
Yeah. I mean, it's really unique circumstance with this, because from what I hear about Nicholas, like, again, he's super polite and super great guy. And he seems like a lot of fun. And but anybody who doesn't know him, who's looking at this from the outside, is going, okay, here's the French advanced aerobatic team coach, which they just won. He's on the French aerobatic team. He's French. And he's going to come over and coach, not really necessarily coach, but he's going to come, I guess you call it train the U.S. unlimited aerobatic team. So it's like, can he switch off, you know, his, you know, the country has grown to love and compete for, to help a competing country?
That's, you know, that's what I was wondering as well. Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, I would say yes. Like, he seems like he's super professional and extremely capable. I don't see it, but it's just, it's a very unique, the sport's so unique with different countries working with different countries and, but also working with their, it's like, you know, it goes again, like, you would never see, and not that aerobatics is ever on this level, but you would never see a Russian coach going over to help the U.S. hockey team.
Right.
Like,
yeah, it is unique in that regard, huh?
Never happened.
Yeah.
But I think the reason why I believe that, I think his heart will be in it, and I don't think he'll do anything shady whatsoever, because you have people like Rob and AJ and Craig and Jim Burke, Goody, and geez, list is so mess. So like,
yeah.
they would know pretty quick if somebody was playing games.
You know yeah, what I mean? That's true. That's true. You're not pulling one on them.
Yeah. Me? Yeah. Oh gosh. I'm the guy at the magic show who thinks that you caught a bullet.
Where'd that rabbit come from?
Yeah, this guy's amazing. It really is
holy,
magic.
Holy shit. He chopped that chicken half.
Yeah. 180 degree aerobatic turn. You got it, Nicholas. Here it comes. Can't wait. Can't wait. Whatever. What other basic figures would you have? Should I pretend that? What other basic figures should I fly that are not
straight up Humpty? just do some real, throw a goldfish in there.
Yeah, goldfish is a good one.
Half Cuban,
like plain vanilla half Cuban.
Yeah,
yeah. What else is in this? 45 up, cap off. You got it.
45 up, cap off. 1.5 turd spit.
I ain't settling on this shit.
Suck this Ivan off.
Yeah. I'm gonna settle on this. Yeah, what else is in the catalog? What else is simple? Actually, if you give me like 5 seconds,
dude. How about just a straight slow roll?
Yeah.
Horizontal slow roll.
Ivan, watch how dramatic I can make this slow roll. It's an Elliman. Like just a badass Elliman.
What about if you did like 10 wing wags before coming in? Just wag in like with 10 wags. Like, what the fuck is he doing?
Why not, instead of wing wags, I'll just rudder wag. I'll just go like, you know, just shake my tail. Left, just right.
Skid, yeah.
Left, right. Or like pitch up like a up down.
I like that.
Oh man, you have so much fun with this. But
I can't wait to hear we should record while you're there, but like I can't wait to hear the breakdown of the camp. It's gonna be fun.
1000%. You'll get AJ on, I'm sure. It'll just
that'd be fun
apart in a good way. I think it does come.
No, that'd be fun.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying not to think about it that much because it's like,
just go in and have fun, dude. Like that's all you can do.
Right.
You know,
I'm flying a SC, which has obviously not the greatest anymore. So
it's obsolete basically.
Fault. Yeah. It's basically worth nothing. So, you know, I got that going against me. I wish I had wing cuffs.
Yeah.
Or fuselage cuffs. But I don't. That's what I'm gonna do. When I fly a figure wrong, I'll be like, you know what, Ivan, it's not my fault, it's the airplane. It's if I had an SX, this wouldn't be happening.
This would never happen if I had an SX.
Yeah. That's what I'm gonna say. Yeah, it's not my fault the plane's not sliding the right way. It's the freaking airplane. If I was sitting 6 inches forward.
It's kind of like when Apple, you know, introduces a new phone, like the older phones get slowed down, they get throttled, you know, and like they don't work as well. It's like, dude, well, how come the SC's all of a sudden flying like shit? Oh, it's the SX. They released the SX.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll, because he doesn't know me, I'll pretend to be like, I know what I'm talking about. I'll be like, you know what, with these outside flicks, man, if the airplane was just 6 inches shorter and the cockpit was just start saying everything that the SX has without saying if I had an SX, you know? If I had one fuel tank instead of two, and if the cockpit was 6 inches forward, 6 inches on the wing, a slightly different aileron design, some flappy doos on the fuselage on the
forward of the wing. Flappy doos.
That it would have never happened. So, I mean, I guess we're going to have to work around it.
Yeah. I guess we're just going to have to make do.
It really puts it into perspective, right? Like how the SC is just getting shitted on.
All overnight, it went from you know, the best to the
perfect airplane. Look at the championships. Take a look at the championships.
All
right, don't look at that anymore.
Don't pay attention to that. There'll be new championships someday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
This turned out to be a fun episode. I don't know if anybody else liked it, but I had fun talking to you.
I enjoyed it. I had a great time. I think it's that reminds me. Before we sign off, Rob was gracious enough to give us a few coupon codes to Fly Good Merch, and we're gonna do some trivia this week. Okay. I gotta find the codes. I still have them somewhere. There we go. Okay.
Are we doing like deep tracks?
I think so. So these are $25 giveaway codes. So it's basically $25 to use on Fly Good Merch for anything on the website. Okay. And I think this week, I have a trivia question this week. What was Rob Holland's, what was the airplane that Rob used for his first air show? Okay.
First air show.
What was Rob Holland's airplane for his first air show? First person to email Jeff or I or us or message or text that answer will get a $25 gift code to Fly Good Merch. How does that sound? Well,
actually, yes, that's great. But we could have run down like a really dark alley, and we're choosing not to because we could.
I tell you what,
two things.
Save it for the next one.
Which, well, we're not gonna. We can't do it because I was gonna say. Put your answers in the comment section below the SX.
comment on Extra Aircraft's Facebook page with the answer.
How funny would that be?
God, we're going to hell.
Would we do if we like approve that to do, or you and I like said like that's what you have to do to get the things? That wouldn't be fair to Rob.
No,
no, we're not.
No. Yeah, absolutely. No, and this is cool. And he reached out and wanted to give some stuff away to the listeners.
The man.
So Rob's the man. So shoot us a message. The airplane that he used for his first air show. First correct answer, we'll get a $25 giveaway code. And we'll have three more. So this is the first one. We'll have three more. And Jeff next week will pick the question for next week. So
that's gonna be tough.
Start
man. You let the
start studying
you
up.
Start it off easy. You set the
bar low. This is easy. This blood is easy. Flowing. And we're going to get harder as we go.
What blood type?
There's some good things we can do with it. But yeah, let's, I better wrap up. I got to go get the kiddos. So first answer with that $25 gift code to Fly Good Merch. Go check them out.
Leans, hairstylist, middle name,
middle name, second cousin.
What was his community name? Or her?
But yeah, go check out Fly Good Merch. We still have the promo code ACRO, A-K-R-O at checkout for 10% off the entire website, flygoodmerch.com. We have a giveaway, or not a giveaway, we have a big discount coming for Lyft and helmets and some giveaways and some stuff. Right now they're doing BOGOs on flight caps, which is cool.
A deal of a century. Definitely hop on that.
Yeah, and I the passenger headset that I use. So if somebody doesn't bring their own headset, I have a spare headset in a Lyft cap. And if you don't want to wear a helmet, you don't want a headset to fly off. Honestly, they're really great. Obviously I prefer to wear a helmet. Yeah, no, they're great. So they're BOGO right now. Head over to the website, liftaviationusa.com. Use the promo code FlyCoolShit at checkout. 25% off most items. I'm not sure if that code will work on the BOGO, but you can try it. So then you get 25% off plus buy one, get one free. Pretty cheap. So check that out. FlyCoolShit.com. Go buy some shirts. And send Jeff Petroselli thoughts and prayers for his prayers. First unlimited camp
coming and up in UC, Tennessee. Any excuses of why I am not performing well to give to Nicholas Ivanov? Just so freaking ridiculous that I'm flying in front of him. I'm like, I don't deserve this.
I love it. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear the breakdown, dude. It's going to be so much fun.
Well, yeah. Well, you have yourself a terrific day.
You too, my friend. And to everybody listening in the interwebs, we'll talk to y'all next week.
See you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Fly Cool Shit. Be sure to check out our website at www.flycoolshit.com. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes and Spotify. Any questions, comments, or feedback, shoot us an email at flycoolshit@gmail.com.